This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black with Bob Zimmerman. It is Thanksgiving subscription and donations time for Behind the Black. Bob will take us into low Earth orbit with private enterprise, observe the frustrations of big space in the same ambition and yet much more expensively and much less agilely. And then the Earth is part of an Earth-Moon system, and that is the ambition coming up for several private enterprises and, of course, Mr. Musk. So your generosity is most appreciated. We begin immediately with low Earth orbit and a space station built by a company, I believe, calling itself VAST. Bob, what is VAST's ambition? What's their mission? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it really comes down to NASA initially and ISS. ISS is going away. It's definitely going to retire by 2030. It's got technical issues that make it risky for it even to last that long. And so NASA has been trying to encourage private companies to develop their own private space stations. In other words, NASA doesn't want to build it anymore. It wants to become the customer buying it from others. And so NASA is going to be issuing contracts, and it already is issued some contracts, development contracts, for these private companies to build space stations. VAST is different than the other three companies and consortiums. It has so far taken no NASA money. Instead, it is using its own money to launch a manned single module small demo space station called Haven 1 that it'll launch this coming spring. And it wants to demonstrate its capabilities with real hardware in orbit with real manned missions to encourage NASA to give it the bigger contracts that are to follow. And it's the only one of these four consortiums that's doing it this way. Most of the others are taking the development money. They're doing some development and some construction, but they're mainly trying to showcase themselves with mock-ups instead. So anyway, Haven 1 has issued an update. There was an update article about it, I'm sorry, and I linked to that. And that article outlined what they've done recently. And what they've done most interesting is there was a SpaceX launch this past weekend in which one of the payloads was a small demonstration prototype of the Haven 1 model, unmanned. And it's mostly been launched to test the power system, the solar panels, communications, and basic operation and control of a system in space. So VAST is already flying something now, and this is a six-month mission to really learn how to operate their module in orbit. So this company is really establishing itself very smartly. When Haven 1 launches, and it's under construction and it's being put together right now, when it launches in the spring, it's intended to be up for 3 years, have four manned missions, 30 days each during that period of time. If this all works, they hope to get a NASA contract as well as other contracts to build a much larger Haven 2 space station, which got a picture of them behind the Black. It's kind of like it's eight modules with a central core module designed to spin. And we'll get into that, John, in the later segment, because by spinning, it'll be able to create some artificial gravity. And this is critical for testing transportation to planets in the future.
Do we know anything about their financing, Bob?
So far, it's all coming out of their own pocket or from investment capital. That's about all we know. And they're paying for it. And they're doing it. They're kind of operating like SpaceX does. And they're very keyed into SpaceX because Haven 1 will be launched on a Falcon 9. And Haven 2 also on a Falcon 9 or Starship, both actually. So they're operating like SpaceX in that they admit it's necessary for them to spend some of their own capital to prove they mean business.
We go to the debate on Artemis. I didn't know there was one. Artemis is Big Space's idea of sign up and you can participate in rules-based moon conduct. But this time there's a debate between two former administrators. I'm unfamiliar, Bob. Who are they?
Okay, so the debate has to do with, can Starship and SpaceX get the lunar lander built on time? You might remember Sean Duffy, the interim NASA administrator right now, about a week and a half ago came out and said, no, SpaceX can't do it anymore. We're going to open up the bidding to Blue Origin and others. If they can build the manned lunar lander faster, we're going to go with that because we got to beat China. Well, at a conference, two different former NASA administrators, Charles Bolden, who was in charge of NASA during the Obama administration, and Jim Bridenstine, who was in charge of NASA during the first Trump administration, they both came out with opinions about this Sean Duffy suggestion about SpaceX. And it was interesting because they actually had opinions that were completely opposite the administrations they worked for. Jim Bridenstine, when he was headed during Trump's first term, he pushed very aggressively for capitalism, for private enterprise, giving out contracts. NASA wasn't going to do it anymore. It was going to be private enterprise that was going to do it, and they were the only ones that could do it. Well, he was now arguing that SpaceX can't do it, the private enterprise can't do it, and we've got to put together a Manhattan Project type government-run system to build a lunar lander quickly. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't fit what he's past done. The way I see it, he created for himself a lobbying group called Artemis Group after leaving NASA, and its biggest donor is ULA. So it seems to me he's lobbying for big NASA contracts for his donors, even if it makes no sense. Meanwhile, Charles Bolden, who when he was head of NASA for Obama, was mostly focused in making NASA a Muslim outreach program. Yet now his position is, you know, we really shouldn't care whether we beat China or the moon. It doesn't help industry. What we should be focusing on doing is developing industry. Let them take the action, and eventually we'll get to the moon first. What I found most amazing to this is Bolden was basically repeating what I've been arguing now since just after the election, that we shouldn't care whether China gets to the moon next because we've already been there. We should build a big, robust industry in low Earth orbit with many different capabilities. Give it time and private enterprise and profits will get us to the moon and wipe China out in the competition. And that's where Bolden stands. Bottom line is Artemis, as presently designed by NASA, is going to go through some drastic changes in the next few years. And it's mostly going to happen because private enterprise will bypass it.
Bob, I've been reading about aeronautics in the early part of the 20th century when it was a sport and turned into a hobby, and then it was war fighting. And then afterwards, the famous barnstorming era when people would take old airplanes and wow the farmers around America. I've been wondering if space faring is following those same steps, that we're into the barnstorming stage where people are demonstrating the capabilities and wowing the public, but the big money's ahead of us, not here already.
Yeah, there's truth in that, John. The difference between the early aviation days and now is that in the early days of aviation, the government still recognized it was private enterprise that should build things. So you didn't have a NASA-style aviation agency building airplanes. And if you did, it was much smaller budget and it wasn't very important. We've been stymied for the last half century because we went with the Soviet model and having the government build everything. If we had focused on issuing contracts to private enterprise to get things done and let them own the products, as we're doing now, we would have been having colonies in space 40 years ago. So that's the only real difference. But you're absolutely right. As private enterprise becomes more and more dominant in the next few years, the big money is going to start to show up.
Right. Somewhere out there is a Pan America. It'll be Pan the Moon, something like that.
It's called SpaceX, John.
Well, early days don't always give you the big machine. That's why I'm guessing. Since
right.
I won't be here, Bob, when they get to that, I've got to do a little guessing. And
okay.
The Earth-Moon system is not automatically monetizable. So I'm trying to imagine what it'll look like. Beyond tourism, I'm thinking.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think SpaceX right now is the lead without any question. But you're absolutely right. There are many others that aren't even in existence yet that are going to show up and could become much larger.
All right. Now we're looking at something that does make money, satellite communications. You want to give us a review, Bob?
Yeah, well, there was a really press release from a think tank organization called LEO Policy Working Group, and it was basically a review of the present satellite constellation industry. And so I posted a link to Behind the Black with my summary of their report. Essentially, I was concerned because it didn't include very few industry people in this. It was all academics and lobbying groups and government agencies and think tank people that wrote this up. And that made me think almost immediately, this is the swamp trying to shut down SpaceX and Kuiper and Amazon and all the private constellations being built. But nope, that wasn't it. It was actually a very reasonable, intelligent, and educated report about the state of the satellite constellation industry. A good summary for people who want to know what's going on. That's one thing. They basically summarize their conclusions and recommendations into one sentence. Government should remain vigilant, but do nothing drastic at this time. The only area where they made some really concrete suggestions and they made sense is having to do with the FCC's issuing of constellation licenses. Right now, you apply for a license and the FCC gives you a very, very long time to get your satellites up. And that has caused a bunch of constellation licenses to be issued from companies that are not serious. And they sit there holding the spectrum and do nothing for a very long time. So these guys are suggesting the FCC change that licensing operation, make it more incremental, with milestones shorter and easier, and demand they be met. And also maybe demand larger bonds from these companies before they submit their application, because you won't get the frivolous applications that tie up spectrum. Otherwise, very good report, and it's on Behind the Black. People take a link and look at it if you want to learn the stand, what's going on in space right now. Big money.
Bob, I meant to mention right away, Starlink's up to something novel. I got a notice yesterday that I'm a trusted subscriber. That sort of note. But they're sending me something for $0 called a mini link that they will charge $5 a month when it's not active, as long as I have it. And then there's a charge if I use it. It's a portable mobile connection to the satellites is what it is. And they're sending it out to all their Starlink customers. So they found a new source of revenue, $5 a month for not using it. And I don't know what the rates are. When you use it, they're much higher. And then you turn it on and you turn it off. This is very clever. They have a list of people who are ready to pay for satellite communications, and they're going to exploit it. Good for them. Other people will be following this.
The advantage of getting your technology up there and operating, you can then start to look for other ways to make money from it. And SpaceX is very good at that.
Yeah, it's called the Free Mini is the name of it. Mini Kit is coming to me for $0. And I'm thinking, they're making this sound like I've won something. This is great. Okay, fine. Enough of that. About satellite communications, Bob, the satellites are the advantage. Was that always known at NASA that satellites would be the big money earner? Did they know that from the first?
Arthur Clarke predicted satellite communications back in like 47, that we would send up satellites that would provide us world communications. And private enterprise, AT&T, in the early 60s, wanted to build its own constellation system. Congress and Kennedy blocked them from doing that and delayed American satellite communications for almost a decade and a half, sadly, and maybe even longer. But it's been known that without question, satellite communications was always going to be a major moneymaker in space.
All right, quickly, Bob, a new national record for China. What's that mean?
All right, I keep track of all the launches that go on each year, all the successful launches, and who, what records have made. SpaceX, for example, is now setting a new record every launch it makes for a single year. Well, China this week completed a launch where it set a new record for China for the most successful launches in a single year. They completed 67. This is, we've got 2 months left to go in the year, so they're easily going to smash the record they sent 2 years ago. And this is part of the overall renaissance in rocketry that's been going on in the last decade or so, led by SpaceX and China, I have to say, because China, creates its pseudo-capitalism companies, which creates competition and innovation. Governments in control, of course, but it's resulted in China with a very large launch industry right now.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. It's Thanksgiving subscription and donation time. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.